Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
We were telling you earlier about Donald Trump's press conference at the NATO summit in The Hague, and he made a casual reference to progress being made on Gaza. And I just see the AFP news agency in the last couple of minutes saying that Hamas now says that a Gaza ceasefire, that talks around the Gaza ceasefire have intensified in recent hours. So I suppose we put both pieces of information together and assume that something is happening on that front. But we'll keep an eye on that if more emerges over the course of the next while. The ceasefire, though, between Iran and Israel appears to be holding this morning. Both nations are acknowledging that it is in place, ending 12 days of tit-for-tat strikes. Let's get the latest on this. I'm joined now by Sarah Firth, foreign correspondent based in Washington. Sarah, thank you for being with us. So let's start with that, with the ceasefire. What is the latest on it? It does appear to be holding, doesn't it?
Yes, the ceasefire is holding for now, despite its shaky start. You had, as it was announced, both sides violating that. And that prompted a pretty extraordinary on-camera moment from President Trump, where he dropped the F word. To give you a snapshot of the mood in Washington over the last couple of days, the fact that the president used the F word on camera and barely anyone blinked here in Washington gives you a pretty clear picture. So the ceasefire is holding for now. And we saw, of course, at the NATO conference with the president speaking, the conversation and the focus really is around this leaked intelligence report. And so a lot of questions being asked here about the extent of the damage to Iran's nuclear sites. President Trump sort of doubling down and very insistent on his obliteration line, virtual obliteration, he called it, saying that Iran wouldn't have had a chance to get any enriched uranium out, because of course that leaked report saying potentially some highly enriched uranium could have been moved from Fordo. So that's really where the focus is at the moment here in Washington, and over along party lines, of course, over whether or not Congress should have approved this action.
Yeah, and Donald Trump, as we heard this morning, saying that the decision that he made to go in at last Saturday into Iran has set Iran's atomic program back by decades. And we've had the nuclear watchdog, the chief of that organization, Rafael Grossi, in the last little while this morning. He was speaking in Vienna, saying his top priority is getting his inspectors back into nuclear, Iranian nuclear facility, Sarah, to assess the impact. And we won't really get a handle on what exactly happened and how successful the American mission was until that happens.
Exactly. And you heard in that statement today, you know, clearly from the expert opinion, it's just simply too soon to say how much damage has been done. That is despite the fact that you've had President Trump very insistent on this total obliteration line. You also had the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, talking about this report that leaked, saying, well, it was preliminary, it was low confidence, it was politically motivated, but it was an admission that that report existed. It was leaked from the Defense Intelligence Agency, saying that, contrary to what the president is claiming, that actually the program was set back potentially only a few months. The question is, of course, until you get those inspectors there on the ground, until more evidence is presented, it is simply too soon to say. And so there is a question over, well, the big one really, if Tehran does have enriched uranium still, if it moves some to a secret location, potentially there would be a risk that is now even greater if they were rushing to weaponize that on the back of these attacks, these strikes by America. So, you've got these big claims being made by the president. He flew into the NATO conference, you know, with this sort of triumphant air, with the ceasefire holding, and with, as he said, this sort of destruction of Iran's nuclear program. That leaked report putting a bit of a dampener on his sort of triumph. And of course, there are big questions now over the extent of the damage, which we simply won't know until inspectors get on the ground and there's some independent verification and evidence.
Sarah, thank you. Sarah Firth there, who is a foreign correspondent based in Washington. Well, I'm also joined by John Arath, who is former US State Department diplomat, now with the Center for Arms Control and Non-Proliferation in Washington, D.C. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
So you've heard all of this going on this morning, the leaked report, Donald Trump saying that while we haven't assessed it yet, we're pretty sure that it has set Iran's atomic program back by decades. What's your own view of what might have been the result of that bombing by the United States?
I think that people are asking in many ways the wrong question. It is clear that there was some damage done to the Iranian nuclear sites, and it's almost not important exactly how much damage that was. The significant thing is that it brought an end to the fighting, and that's important because that has now created some space for negotiation. There's now a serious discussion about getting IAEA inspectors back into the sites, and that's important because they can then inspect and have confidence that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons. And that's what we all want to get out of this, that confidence that they are not producing nuclear weapons, that they are not able to threaten their neighbors with massive destruction. So if that's the result, it doesn't really matter how much is destroyed or not destroyed. It's a positive outcome.
Looking at this more generally, John, with the ongoing geopolitical tensions involving nuclear capabilities in particular, how many nations have nuclear capability?
If you're talking about nuclear weapons capabilities, there are 9 right now.
Mm-hmm. Can you take us through them?
It's the 5 so-called declared nuclear powers: the United States, Russia, China, the UK, France, and that's 5. Mm-hmm. And then India, Pakistan, North Korea, and presumably Israel.
But there could have been a lot more, couldn't there? I mean, you can tell us about the non-proliferation treaty and how that has worked in this regard.
The non-proliferation treaty, or NPT, was negotiated in the 1960s at the height of the Cold War following the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Cuban Missile Crisis occurred in the 1960s and brought the world as close to nuclear war as it ever came. And following that, everybody thought, we really need to do something to reduce the chance that there's going to be a complete catastrophe. And the result was this treaty that limited the spread of nuclear weapons to the countries that already had them.
And there was
it also contained...
Sorry, John, go ahead.
It also contained a section that promised to reduce the number of nuclear weapons with the goal of eventually eliminating them. So that was important as well. But the main goal of the treaty was to prevent the spread of the nuclear weapons further. Otherwise, there could have been 20 or more countries with nuclear weapons in another decade.
And 191 UN member states are signatories to that treaty, aren't they?
Yes.
And 5 are not, though. 5 UN member states did not sign up to the NPT.
That's correct. There are several countries that, for one reason or another, have decided that it does not suit their security interest.
Can you explain to us the race for a nuclear deterrent? Why is that so important, and what's happening in that regard?
Countries develop nuclear weapons because they have security concerns that they feel are existential in nature. They feel that the threats to their security are so great that only a nuclear deterrent allows them to achieve some level of security. Mm-hmm. An example of this is Israel. It's surrounded by countries that are inherently hostile, some of which have constitutional provisions denying Israel's right to exist. Some, like Iran, routinely make threats against Israel's continued existence. And others are in a perpetual state of war with Israel. So Israel has decided that nuclear weapons are necessary to preserve its existence as a state.
Mm-hmm. John, we must leave it there, but thank you for joining us. John Arath there from the Center for Arms Control and Non-Proliferation. Next up, gun owners here want a fairer and clearer licensing system. We're going to find out why.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.